The real estate market goes to rehab. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. If you are trying to sell your home, some encouraging news. If you're in the market for a place to live, this is less than encouraging. There is news this morning that a closely watched index of house prices has gone up 5.5% in the 12 months through October. This is the Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller survey of home prices in 20 metro areas. San Francisco, Denver, and Portland, Oregon had price increases of nearly 11% over that year-long stretch. A better jobs market and few houses and apartments for sale are part of this, but so are mortgage rates, which are staying quite low. On Tuesdays, we consult Julie Niemann, the analyst from Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Morning to you.
Morning, David.
So the Fed raised interest rates, and when you think about real estate, you got to figure, all right, well, now it's harder to buy a house because the mortgage will be more expensive.
Mortgage rates are going to stay low here for some time to come. The Fed rate hike that we saw in 12-16 is not the death knell for interest rates in the housing market. Basically, low rates are staying down here because there's a lot of concern that we may see some kind of economic contraction, and there's a lack of inflation. Those two things are going to keep rates low, and that keeps it very affordable for mortgages.
All right. Well, we'll see if that holds. But another real estate trend while we're talking real estate, rehabbing, not that kind of rehab. This is about rehabilitating urban space. So millennials have a place to live?
Well, housing prices all over the place, especially California, have been just absolutely shooting up. But a new area has really been discovered, and those are the inner cities. There's lots of very good housing stock available. It has to be rehabbed. And this is what we're beginning to see. The availability of cheap mortgage rates is enabling a lot of the young urban professionals to move back in and start rehabbing good quality existing housing stock.
Now, you're in St. Louis there. What do you call these upwardly mobile people who are moving into these rehab places in urban areas?
We call them SLUPPIs, St. Louis Urban Professionals. These are young people who have moved back into the city. They have probably twice the real estate that their compatriots do, but it's in areas that obviously don't have high mortgage values. They have twice the number of degrees that their compatriots do, but about half of the salaries here. But these are the people who are moving back in and are doing the rehabilitation. There's a lot of promise there.
So they may have more square footage if they're living downtown, and they don't tend to own a car.
Yeah, and they're taking public transportation and they're bicycling. So we have a back to the city movement here.
All right. Julie Niemann, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in rather wet St. Louis. Julie, thank you.
You bet.
Manny Moe and Jack are in play. Famed investor Carl Icahn is trying to buy the auto parts chain Pep Boys. So is the Tokyo-based tire company Bridgestone. Bridgestone raised its offer to $17 a share, but now Icahn has upped his to $18.50. What is the stock doing right now? You can guess. It's up 8% now. Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. It is that time when investment folks go out on a limb to talk about their strategies for trying to make money in the new year. Well, the bulls are bullish. Tom Lee of Fundstrat, a noted bull when it comes to stocks, thinks stocks are the place to be next year. His logic, the global economy will grow more than it did this year, he thinks, and the dollar won't get worse. Then there are the noted bears, like the editor of what's called the Gloom and Doom Report. No, not stocks for him. 10-year treasuries he likes in 2016. For Marketplace regular Alan Sloan, who's also a columnist for The Washington Post, his thing, he tells me, is municipal bonds. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
So you and I were not put on Earth just to be captive to the ebbs and tides of economic flows. We are here to take advantage of these flows, if not for personal gain, for the gain of our listeners or your readers. Interest rates are going up. You'd think you'd go down to the bank and buy a certificate of deposit, but those aren't going up yet. So got anything else?
Yeah, if you have staying power and you're willing to be patient, you could possibly do very well buying long-term municipal bonds, but buying bonds themselves, not buying a bond fund.
But by not buying a bond fund, help me understand the distinction.
If you have shares in a bond fund, they're easy to buy, they're easy to sell, but there are fees, and if interest rates go up, which seems very likely they will, on the securities the fund owns, the net asset value of the fund declines. So if you buy a bond, you know, you're taking a risk that something happens to the bond and you realistically can't sell it without getting killed in the market, but you can collect your interest when the bond matures. And if you buy it the right way, which is as part of the original offering, you don't pay any commission. You just sit there and collect your money. This is not what they tell you to do, but this is what I've done because I'm in a position to do it. And if it turns out I've made a mistake, I promise not to whine unduly.
You seem to be a very patient man with a long time horizon. You're going to sit and wait for these things to mature.
I think some of my bonds mature when I'm 99. So
hope springs eternal. So why would you buy such a thing?
Because I'd much rather get 5% triple tax-free interest for the years I'm collecting it than get nothing if I don't do something with the money. If you take the total sum of my bonds, they're about equal to my biggest individual holdings, and they pay a lot more money.
But buying munis means you have, at some level, faith in local and state government that they'll be around to pay these things.
Well, I had more of it when I first bought these things than I have now, but I'm willing to sit around and wait. And if it turns out I'm wrong, when I'm 97, I'll come hobbling to this program and admit an error.
Lessons on investing and the longer-term time horizon from none other than Alan Sloan, who's also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Another story we're following today, the bank described as Russian President Putin's favorite bank, VEB, is going hat in hand for an $18 billion bailout from the Russian government. Western economic sanctions and low oil prices have hit the bank hard. Vinesh Econ Bank had been President Putin's go-to financial institution for funding for things like the Sochi Olympics and other special projects. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.